I greet you in the high and holy name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Today we continue our sermon series on summer baggage that we should discard in order to serve Christ more fully and effectively. And on previous Sundays, you know the baggage we've challenged you to discard, such things as regret, shame, pride, and unforgiveness. Today, the baggage we will consider is disappointment. Disappointment, or you could call it trouble, or trials, or tribulations, or burdens. St. Paul shows us how to turn trouble and disappointments into God appointments. I want to anticipate the ending of my message today. I want you to. I'm going to challenge you to turn a disappointment into a God appointment. And all you'll need is a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper. You could use your bulletin, church bulletin. You won't have to write down a lot, just one or two important things. Our scripture for the morning is Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. If you're able, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast or rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also glory or rejoice in our sufferings, because we know," and here comes the chain reaction, "we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated and let us pray. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Give us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. One of my American heroes is the inventor Thomas Edison. You may know he invented the microphone, the phonograph, incandescent light, and about 1,000 other things. But that's not why he's my hero. I'll tell you why he is. One night in December 1914, all of his manufacturing facilities in West Orange, New Jersey, caught fire and was completely destroyed, containing his plans, his dreams, some of his inventions half done, all of it up in flames. And the next morning, as Edison walked among the charred embers of his hopes and dreams, this 69-year-old inventor said this: "There is value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Now we can start over." That's why he's my hero, because he didn't surrender to disaster or disappointment. Now, hopefully none of us will face the kind of disaster that Edison did, but I guarantee you we will face trouble and disappointment. What do they say? There are only two things sure in life: death and taxes. No. Jesus said there's a third one. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And the word trouble can be translated as trials, tribulations, disappointments. And this refers to trouble that comes to all of us, not because of our sin. That's a different kind of trouble. This is the kind of trouble that just comes indiscriminately. It seems that life passes out some bad breaks without rhyme or reason. They just come. I mean, they're painful visitors like arthritis and shingles and kidney stones that are equal opportunity villains. Doesn't matter who you are, what your name is, they can come your way. Even a Christian can lose his job or have a failed marriage. Some of us may experience bankruptcy. Some of us may go through periods of real depression. And even a teenager reared in a Christian home can get hooked on drugs. Whether our cup of disappointment is small, medium, or large, all of us will drink some of it. Well, how are Christians supposed to react to disappointment and trouble? Surely, we're not supposed to just hunker down like a donkey in a hailstorm. No. No, listen to the rest of Jesus' statement in John 16, verse 33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. This means that if you are in Christ, nothing in this world can defeat you. If you are in Christ, you share his overcoming of the world. St. Paul wrote, we rejoice or boast in the hope of the glory of God. You see, God is not satisfied to just help us endure, hunker down. Oh, no. God wants to make us more than conquerors. Our disappointment can become a God appointment. St. Paul has experienced that truth in his own life, and so he wrote this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Just as Melody sang, even when we can't trace his hand, we can trust his heart. So you might ask, how can I turn a disappointment into a God appointment? Well, St. Paul gives us the formula, and it begins at the cross. St. Paul wrote, now that we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we repent of sin and believe that when he died on that cross, he paid the penalty for that sin and set us free and saved us, then we are justified or made right with God. When we get right with God, there's bound to be joy in our soul. We can't help but rejoice because we're standing knee deep in the grace of God. That's where the victory begins. Okay, you say to me, Brother Bill, it's easy to rejoice when Melody is singing and we're on some spiritual mountaintop. But what about when we're down in the valley of trouble? Well, St. Paul answers that question in verse 3 of our text. And his answer may surprise us and even shock us. He says, we rejoice, our glory, in our sufferings. And you and I are thinking, hold on, St. Paul. Wait a minute. I don't rejoice. I don't like to suffer. I'm not a masochist. Suffering bothers me. And if St. Paul could reply to us at that point, he would say, never evaluate trouble or disappointment until God is through with it. Never evaluate trouble or disappointment until God is through with it. That lost job you had, that bout with cancer, That stab in the back from somebody you thought was your friend, that business failure, God may yet squeeze a blessing out of it that will cause you to rejoice. Just 8 days ago, an assassin up in Butler, Pennsylvania, tried to kill a presidential candidate. It was a terrible event. There was a man who died in that event. It could have been a disaster. And now, 8 days later, that presidential candidate and many Americans are saying, we saw the hand of God in that event. God may yet squeeze a blessing from what we call a disaster. If you have found new life in Christ, then trouble or disappointment sets off a chain reaction that Paul wrote about, that turns disappointment into God's appointment. Let's explore the chain reaction. First, says St. Paul, suffering produces perseverance. And the Greek word for perseverance there means fortitude. It means more than just enduring something bad. It means a conquering spirit that forces trouble to pay dividends. That's what perseverance is. When the South Korean Christians were being persecuted by North Korean communists, one of those Christian leaders said this, we are like nails. The harder they hit us, the deeper they drive us into Christ. That's perseverance. The next part of the chain reaction, perseverance produces character. And the Greek word for character is the word that we use to describe metal that is passed through a refining fire that purges out all impurities, that makes the metal stronger. That's what this word means. During my years in the military, I sometimes talked with combat veterans, and I used to ask them about their experience. And all of them said, we were afraid. We were scared to death. But then often they would say to me, we weren't scared of dying as much as we were scared of giving in to fear, failing our buddies, running from danger. And then they told me, they said, after the first full day in combat, we actually were relieved that we had stood the test and that we had not turned and run. That's what character means. It's the growth that comes through the fire and the adversity and makes you stronger on the other side. As been famously said, character is what you really are, whereas reputation is merely what other people think you are. The next part of the chain reaction, character produces hope. And hope, of course, means to be positive about the future. But if your hope is based mainly on either money or job or status, each of those can be lost. Nothing permanent there. Paul says that Christian hope does not disappoint because it's different. It's different. We are hopeful, Paul says, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. And several chapters later in Romans, St. Paul writes, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Let me tell you, when you know that you have been adopted as a child of Almighty God, nothing in this world can steal your hope. So there you have the chain reaction Paul gives us that makes us confident even in trouble and disappointment. Let me give you a real life example of the chain reaction at work. I have a longtime friend named Danny Williams who has given me permission to share his story with you this morning. In 1981, he was a student at the Citadel, and in a physical education class, He had a terrible accident on a trampoline. He broke his neck and was paralyzed from the chest down. Danny had planned to become an officer in the United States Army. Immediately, that hope and plan was discarded. There he was, flat on his back, facing surgery, knowing he would probably be paralyzed for life, and the disappointment was overwhelming. But Danny had a huge advantage. He was reared in a strong Christian home. Danny says he never could remember a time when he did not love Jesus. Therefore, even though Danny was flat on his back, knowing he was probably paralyzed for life, facing surgery, he had hope. And this is what Danny said to God, according to what he told me, flat on his back. He said, "Okay, God, what's next? Where do we go from here? I know you have a plan for my life. No doubt the plan has changed. What is it now?" Well, Danny completed his degree at the Citadel. One day he rolled across that stage in his wheelchair and received his diploma in computer science. For the next 30 years, Danny worked as a computer specialist for South Carolina National Bank and for the state of South Carolina. Today, Danny is living in Greenville. He's recovering from a recent surgery. His faith is stronger than ever. He is living a victorious life in Christ. And because of his faith, his disappointment became a God appointment. And he happens to be worshiping with us today online. And would you join me in thanking him for allowing me to tell his story? When our trouble or disappointment becomes a God appointment, God uses that experience to change us in three different ways. First of all, trouble makes us more humble. Trouble makes us more humble. May I offer a personal testimony? When I came out of seminary at the age of 25, I was way too confident. I didn't think I had any limitations. You give me enough time and I can do anything and I can fix any problem. Just turn me loose. Oh, but a couple of years out in the real world, in two little churches on the north side of Columbia, I ran into my limitations like a brick wall. I couldn't fix all those problems the churches had. I sometimes tried to solve problems my people had, which can only be solved by God. But I tried to solve them. Sometimes I made plans without consulting God and ended up getting kicked in the backside for it. I was too self-confident and not enough God-confident. But, oh, real life took me down a few notches. And then some years later, when our 8-year-old son died, I was in a pit. I don't think I could have ever come out of that pit if Jesus hadn't lifted me out. Now, out of those experiences in the valley, my pride was deflated and my spirit was mellowed. The clay of my life became more malleable in the hands of God Almighty so that it could be shaped according to His plan and purpose. God is not through with me yet, thank goodness. Even after all these years, God still has me in training. And trouble has made me more teachable. The great African-American preacher Gardner Daniel has said, "You're not ready to preach the gospel at its depths and heights until something has hurt you deeply." When life knocks you down, It's humbling. But then, thank God, he is there to pick you up. Then there's a third change. There's a second change that takes place when our trouble or disappointment becomes a God appointment. Trouble makes us more sympathetic toward other people. Frances Perkins was the Secretary of Labor in the Franklin D. Roosevelt administration, and she knew FDR when he was a young man. She said when he came out of Harvard, heir to a family fortune, she said there was a casual arrogance about the man. But she said years later, when he had been racked by the pain of polio, she said there was a new light in his eyes and there was a tenderness in his heart. These are lessons learned in the house of sorrow. And there are lessons learned there that cannot be learned in the house of laughter. Nothing is more powerful and beautiful than a heart that has been broken and then put back together by Almighty God. Often a heartbreak is a means by which you gain access to somebody else's heart. When you meet someone facing the trouble that you have experienced, you have instant access into their life. And when somebody is traveling a path that you have trod, your shared understanding is a gift from God. When someone is traveling a path you have trod, your shared understanding is a gift from God. And then there's a third change that the chain reaction makes in our lives when trouble or disappointment becomes a God appointment. Trouble makes us more God dependent. More God dependent. Bruce Larson, the writer and preacher, has said, in every disaster, God has a gift for you. Claim it. It's not a sin to be in a shipwreck, but it is a sin not to sing in the lifeboat. Our extremity is God's opportunity. The great founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, lost his eyesight in his later years. And one day his son Bramwell came to him and said, "Dad, the news from the doctors is not good. You are not going to be able to see again this side of heaven." And the old man took his son's hand in his and said, "Bramwell, I have served God and his people for all these years with my eyes. Now I'm going to serve God and his people without two eyes." And you know what? William Booth, blind William Booth, was more dependent on God Almighty than William Booth with two good eyes. When the bottom drops out, remember that underneath are the everlasting arms. And when there seems to be no way, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The writer Ernest Hemingway was right when he wrote, "The world breaks everyone. And afterward, many are strong at the broken places." Those strong ones are those who allow their disappointment to become God's appointment. Dear friends, the greatest story you have to tell is how Jesus found you and saved you. The second greatest story you have to tell is how you have come through life's adversities by the grace of God. That's a story that has power. Long ago, I tucked away in my heart a poem that is so personal to me, I get nervous emotionally about trying to recite it. "I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. St. Paul asked, who shall separate us from the love of God? And then he listed everything he could think of. Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? And then he virtually shouts, no! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In my very first pastorate out there on the north side of Columbia, there was an elderly couple named Jack and Corey. They loved the Lord and they loved each other. And Corey taught me, her young pastor, a lesson that I have kept for life. Corey was an artist in the kitchen. I mean, she made everything from scratch. Biscuits, cornbread, everything. She had some apple trees in the backyard, and she would occasionally harvest some apples and make an apple cobbler. And when you put a scoop of ice cream on top of that hot apple cobbler, even the angels in heaven would salivate. Now, as a pastor, you know, I had some responsibility to do some quality control. So every month or so, I would drop by. I wanted to make sure that old Jack was being well fed, you know. Corey's other great gift was she made patch quilts. She was always collecting pieces of cloth. And she had this room in her house, and there was a frame suspended from the ceiling. And when she got enough cloth, she would go in there and create a patch quilt. And she never sold them. They were treasured by people who had them. She gave them away as gifts to people she loved. So one day when I was dropping by her kitchen, I noticed a paper bag with pieces of cloth in it. And on top was a piece of purple cloth. And I said, Corey, see that piece of cloth, that purple piece there? Get rid of it. That's ugly. It'll hurt your patch quilt. And with a twinkle in her eye, Corey said, now, preacher, I don't try to tell you how to preach. And I don't really need your advice on patch quilts. So about a month or 6 weeks later, I dropped by to have a dessert, and Corey said, preacher, I want to show you something. She took me into that quilting room, and she had just completed a new patch quilt. And she said, now, preacher, you see that piece of purple out in the middle there that you said such bad things about when you were here before? What do you think now? I said, Corey, I take back everything I said. I mean, by itself, that piece of cloth looked awful, but the way you have blended it into all the colors of the rainbow, you have created a masterpiece. I commend you. Later, the Lord whispered to me and said, Corey has taught you a lesson. There are pieces of our life that look like that piece of purple cloth. They're ugly, painful, sometimes heartbreaking. But when they are turned over to the Heavenly Father, He has the power and the skill and the grace to so blend them into the total fabric of our lives that when He is finished with us, He has created a masterpiece. Now, what is that piece of purple cloth in your life? What is the trouble or disappointment that steals some of your joy? What's the burden that you've been carrying? What has happened in your life that causes you to sometimes say to God, why did you allow that to happen? What is the piece of purple cloth in your life? The Bible invites you to cast all your anxieties upon God because He cares for you. So let's take a few minutes right now as Luke plays for us, to name that disappointment or trouble in your life. I want you to write it down on that piece of paper or on your church bulletin. And if you want to keep it completely private, just write down the first letter of the word. And then I want you to date it. July 21, 2024. And then I want you to take it home with you as a memorial of the day you turned it over to the Lord. When those pieces of purple cloth are turned over to the Heavenly Father, He can shape and blend them into the total fabric of your life with such skill and power and grace that when He gets through with you, you're going to be His masterpiece. Take a few moments right now to write down that disappointment or trouble and ask that it become a God appointment.